Tarlehurst End podcast.
By Reading fans, for Reading fans.
Hello and welcome to the Tarlehurst End weekend preview. A first win in 2 months has lifted spirits all around at Reading, but can they keep the momentum going against Frank Lampard's Derby County? My name is Ollie Allen, your host for today's show, and I'm pleased to say that I'm joined as ever by the Working Papers, Tom Crocker. How's it going, Tom?
Yeah, good, thank you. Obviously, like you say, the win at the weekend, and we're recording in the evening. I feel like I should have a beer with me or something, really. But yeah, it's all been positive this week, I think.
I'm feeling incredibly upbeat for once recording. I think the whole club's sort of been given a lift by that win over Forest last week. Jose Gomez is saying all the right things about the club being a family and the club, you know, being important over everything else. But I think it was very much needed, really. I mean, it just seems we've been in a constant cycle, really, of sort of doom and gloom for the past couple of months. Obviously, no win since November the 3rd. But do you have faith, Tom, that this positivity can continue at Derby? Obviously, you know, you could argue that Forest were almost a perfect opponent last weekend because of what happened with Aitor Karanka the day before, and Derby will almost certainly be a tougher test.
Yeah, I think everything sort of fell into place in that Forest game. Obviously, they had the couple of red cards and the manager situation. It was just Forest, I think they must be much better than they showed on the day because they're so high at the table. So Reading caught them on a good time, but I think some of the performances in recent weeks have been leading towards getting the win. It's just been a case of getting over the line. And obviously, they had the home game against Swansea. They mucked that one up. And then a couple of the away games, they've been close. So just to get over the line, I think, is a massive, massive thing for the team and for Gomez. Because, like you said last week, going into it, you can keep playing well, but there were 5 points adrift. And it could have been 8 points. We could have been speaking now. It could have been 8 points adrift if those results have gone their way. Now it's just 2 points. So it feels like a massive...
Fine margins.
Well, exactly, yeah. It's, yeah. Well, if it was 8 points, it would have been really tough to... Yeah. It would have been stuck down there for quite a while. So even if this weekend doesn't go too well, they still won't be that far off. Now, they've closed the gap a little bit. And obviously, getting back-to-back wins have been a bit of an issue. But I think if they can take the momentum into the weekend, it's even if they just go and put in a performance, I think that'll be quite useful. They've got some games coming up against teams around them, which you'd like to think they can maybe pick up points in the next couple of weeks or so. So yeah, I think just getting over the line, first win in, I think the 3rd of November, I think, was the last one. So that's a massive thing, I think, for the team. Hopefully, obviously, we've seen it before, so we're all still a little bit cautious, but just the way he's got the team playing, Gomez, and like I say, saying all the right things, it all seems so positive at the moment. And if they can just try and replicate it a little bit up at Derby and at least play well, I think everyone will keep that momentum going into the weekend off the following week, but going into the Bolton game after that.
Yeah, I mean, I think it didn't really matter who that win came against, really. I think it was just important that he got those first 3 points that he'd been working towards. But, you know, this game is a different kettle of fish, really. Obviously, it's away from home for a start. Reading have only won once away from home all season. That was way back in September against Preston, who were, at the time, really quite struggling at the bottom of the table. Meanwhile, no side in the Championship has lost fewer home games than Derby this season, who have only been beaten twice at Pride Park this year. So the stats perhaps not in Reading's favour, but does Jose Gomez change tack for this game, Tom, or does he stick with what worked last weekend? You know, because we know that Derby also, you know, like to have the ball and play a lot of passes, a lot like Reading. So does Gomez go there and try and match that, or does he try and change his system, perhaps?
That question was pretty much put to him in those terms at the press conference today, and he said they're going to play the same way as they have done all the other times. Obviously, we'll see if that's how it plays out. But they want to try and create chances as they have been in these other games. He said they got to be wary of not giving away anything at the other end as well. It's probably one of the tougher tests going away to a team like Derby at the moment. So I think they'll probably have to be a bit more defensively switched on, but I think they are still going there very much to try and get on the front foot. Obviously, they had more of the ball at Old Trafford, and they'll try and do something similar, I'd imagine, if they can, away at Derby. So yeah, I think it's very much stick to what they have been doing, and I think that's probably the right way to go at the moment with the players they've got and the players that they've been bringing in, and the way Gomez got them playing. It would be strange to maybe change it completely. Obviously, you might need to just adjust things a little bit defensively, but yeah, I think they've still got plenty going forwards and they can cause Derby problems. I think that's the route they'll probably be trying to go down.
I mean, in credit to them, they went up to Old Trafford and dominated possession of the ball there. So, I mean, certainly if they can do that against Man United, then they would hopefully be able to do that against Derby County. But, of course, one thing that might play to Reading's advantage, apart from the fact that Marcello Bielsa very kindly gave us all a lot of knowledge on Derby yesterday in his PowerPoint presentation, but is the fact that, of course, Derby played on Wednesday night in their FA Cup third round replay away to Southampton, which they did win on penalties. You know, there's two ways really, Tom, that game might impact this weekend. Obviously, on the one hand, Derby will certainly take confidence, of course, and momentum from beating a Premier League side away from home. But on the other hand, Reading, of course, have had 4 days more preparation now and rest, which is especially, you know, pertinent considering it went all the way to penalties and extra time. So, you know, and the travel down to Southampton and back as well will certainly, you know, might take its toll.
Yeah, Gomez is very much looking at it the first way, that it's not going to make too much of an impact. And had they maybe lost it, it might have been a bit different. But because they've won it now, they'll be buoyed by that. And Nice also made the good point that they're all used to playing every 3 or 4 days now at the moment, the players in the Championship. So, yeah, I think it might have an impact. They obviously 120 minutes against the Premier League side. They had to put a lot in to fight back from 2-0 down as well. Yeah. So that's bound to have taken a little bit out of them. But they've got options in the squad. They can rotate it, I think, and still not have a pretty good team out. So, yeah, I'm not sure Reading can rely entirely on that. Obviously, they've got a pretty good record up at Derby. They obviously won there last year, just on the back of beating Forest as well. So they've got decent form up there in the past. And, yeah, some of the players obviously have played in that game as well last year. So hopefully they can maybe use that. But, yeah, I think it might have a little bit of an impact. Obviously, the noises from the management is very different. But, but yeah, I think the fact they go 120 in the midweek and Reading have a full week to prepare for it, I think it should really have a help on Reading. And you'd like to hope that you'd see that maybe towards the closing stages of the game, possibly.
I mean, also, I don't know quite how Frank Lampard prepares his teams for games, but I mean, if he might well have been fully focused on that Southampton game up until last night and not really perhaps looked ahead to this Reading game until the weekend, so that might also give Reading an advantage there. But I mean, a lot of their key players did feature as well. You know, it's not as if they were rested. I mean, the likes of Mason Mount, Harry Wilson, Jack Marriott all featured for Derby last night, so it'll be interesting to see what sort of side they line up with on Saturday. I mean, there's undoubted quality in that side, Tom, that, you know, the likes of Wilson, who seems to score countless free kicks, got another one last night as well. So if you know, I think Reading have got to be careful not to give too many fouls away close to the area. But yeah, Harry Wilson, Mason Mount, really exciting young players. Mount, of course, scored against Reading in August, as did Tom Lawrence, scored that 94th minute winner back at the start of the season. I mean, it's unsurprising to see that they are the favourites for this one, 8-11, in fact, with odds checker, hashtag gambler, where Reading are 24-5 and the draw is 3-1. I think ultimately, you know, they are sixth in the table, Tom. They're a playoff pushing side, and we're still in the relegation zone. So I think Reading will be in for a tough game.
Yeah, absolutely. Derby will be favourites for it. They're a team that wants to get promoted. You obviously mentioned those attacking players there. They've got Tomori at the back as well. He's been really impressive for them. It was good again against Southampton. So they've got plenty of options. George Evans has been in that team a bit recently as well. So, they've got talented players. They've got a manager who's getting them playing, all these young players as well. So, yeah, they'll certainly be favourites, especially at home. I think, I'd imagine most of the times Reading have been there and won, they've probably been favourites as well, though. But, I think I don't think Reading would expect anything different, really. It'd be strange if Reading were fancied by many people to go up there and get the win. But I think from within the club and maybe from the feeling you get around the fan base, they're fairly optimistic they can go up there and get something. They've had the full week to prepare for it. And I think Derby took that midweek game pretty seriously. Lampard wants to take the cup pretty seriously. They had Accrington in the next round, which they'll fancy the chances in. So they threw a lot into that game on Wednesday night. And yeah, hopefully we see that maybe having a little bit of an impact later on in the game. But I'd say I don't think that Reading will particularly be relying on that. They'll try and just get on the front foot themselves. And like I say, they went to Old Trafford and did it. So they'll be a bit more confident now they can go to these away grounds and perform, even though, like I say, they haven't won for such a long time now away from home.
It's now time to get a bit more insight on Derby. But instead of sending someone outside the gates of the training ground to try and peer in, and we did the simple thing and talked to a fan of the club in the view from the town end.
The view from the town end. What do your opposition think?
View from the town end, time now, and with Reading visiting Derby County on Saturday. This week I'm joined by Rams fan Andy Buckley-Taylor. How's it going, Andy?
Hi, yeah, not too bad. Could be better, but could be a whole lot worse.
I mean, we spoke way back at the start of the season, before a ball had been kicked. Sorry, I mean obviously plenty has happened since then. Obviously since Derby's 2-1 win over Reading on the opening day, how would you sum up the season for you guys so far? Obviously currently sixth in the table, and that's a position you sort of sustained for much of the campaign.
Yeah, it's been full of ups and downs. Overall, I'm pretty satisfied, actually, on how the season's gone so far. Obviously, rookie manager coming in, having to sell before he signs.
Yeah.
He's learning along the way as well, you know. He has shown ability to make decisions if things aren't going our way, to change things. A couple of games this season, well, several times this season, we've been trailing in games and fought back. He's shown he does have that little bit of know-how on how to change things for the better. And I think of the 92 clubs in the country, I think we've achieved the most points coming from behind.
Okay.
So there does seem to be some evidence of tactical know-how.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that was obviously very evident in that first game on the opening day when Reading were 1-0 up. And obviously, Derby came back to win 2-1. And, you know, I think Reading's record in the second half isn't very good at all. So potentially, if Reading go 1-0 up, that might not be game done and dusted. But of course, when we spoke back in August, Frank Lampard was in his first couple of weeks as Derby manager, and it was sort of too early to make that judgment on him. I mean, you touched on it briefly there. Obviously, 6 months into his reign now, how has he adapted to managerial life, and how much of Derby's sort of position in the table is down to him?
Well, if you look at the team and the key players in the team, he's brought young Jaden Bogle in. I know he didn't play the first time we met you, but he's been brought in, a young lad who's progressed through the academy.
Yeah.
Defence overall, well, Fikayo Tomori has come in from Chelsea, so that's another Lampard signing. The midfield, Harry Wilson and Mason Mount are Lampard loans. The holding role, he's had a. That's where he's made the most changes.
Okay.
He's had Bradley Johnson in there, Tom Huddleston, George Evans. Past few games has filled in there, and on the if you're looking at the front three. Jack Marriott, he bought from Peterborough, and Martin Waghorn, who actually he hasn't really had a good run of fixtures, but he was brought in by Frank Lampard. So the main DNA of the team has been Lampard signings, but they've been complemented by some of the players that he's retained from previous managers. I mean, we're nowhere near the finished article yet, and there's still one or two holes that need filling. And, you know, hopefully, given time, he'll address them.
I was going to mention, obviously, because recent form has been a little bit shaky. I mean, you've won just one of your last six games. I mean, do you have confidence in, you know, that the side can sustain a position in the top six? I mean, I know the club's got a bit of a reputation for sort of having a dip in form in the second half of the season in the past.
I won't be tremendously upset if we don't make it and stay in the top six yet, because I can see good work in progress. Yeah. And sometimes it's better to let a side evolve. I mean, obviously, you don't turn your nose up at it if that chance arises. But the way I see it, Saturday, irrespective of result, we're going to still be top seven. Well, we could possibly be there at the end of the season, but you see, this season the championship is a lot more even from first place downwards.
Yeah,
I know Leeds United are now sort of looking like a side that is likely to, you know,
run away with it
and stop at the top.
Yeah.
But Norwich have been up there, and you saw what we did to Norwich the other week. So how it all pans out is anyone's guess.
Yeah, I mean, usually there is actually a runaway lead in the championship. Obviously, last year it was Wolves and Cardiff were up there for the majority of the time as well. But this year there's sort of been that rotation at the top. Obviously, West Brom have been up there. Sheffield United have been top for a couple of weeks as well. And obviously, now it is Leeds and Norwich in those top two places. But moving on to the weekend then, Andy, what did you make of Reading back in August? And have you seen much of us since then?
I haven't seen a lot of you. I intend over the next couple of days to watch the highlights of some of your games.
Okay.
Back then, I mean, that opening game, you were pretty much, well, I mean, if I remember correctly, the first half was pretty much Reading's half.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
And I don't think there's a lot wrong with the team. I think your main problem has been ball in net. When you appointed Paul Clement, I didn't think that he was the best sort of choice for that job. Mm. The new guy, I think you've got to give him time. This is his first transfer window as well. So yeah. To me, a manager needs at least three transfer windows to make a full impression on a club. But I don't think that you'll go down.
Okay.
I think you've got a better squad of players and teams above you, like say Rotherham.
Yeah.
I could see them as a side that slips sliding down. I think if you give the guy some time, like Hull City have with Adkins.
Yep.
And they're sort of like now making a run up the division, and it will pay off. But I certainly don't see you going down.
I think our fans are a lot more optimistic following the 2-0 win over Nottingham Forest last weekend and a couple of new signings in as well. So hopefully we do end up surviving the drop at the end of the season. But I mean, obviously you mentioned it there. This squad is sort of, I mean, it shouldn't be where it is on the table. It certainly shouldn't have been second from bottom for much of Christmas. So, but hopefully if Gomez can get the best out of these players, then we might be able to pull ourselves away from danger. But as for yourselves, who should Reading fans look out for at the weekend? Who might Derby's key player be?
Well, the key player is going forward. He's the main attacking threat, and any free kicks from just outside the box inwards, he's always a threat as well. Mm. Jack Marriott, if he's fed, he converts. He doesn't miss many. He's a good running striker. Reminds me a bit of a Derby striker from the 1980s, Bobby Davison. Mm. Obviously in midfield as well, Mason Mount has a lot of influence. If Tom Lawrence is on his game, he'll be dangerous.
Yep.
But he's a frustrating player. He can sort of like go missing, but then every now and then come up with a magical play. The Southampton FA Cup match was a prime example where he was quiet for much of the game. Then he set one goal up and scored a great goal himself. And I think they're the main areas. The George Evans, he's impressed me actually in the few games he's had. Apart from last week against Leeds, what I have noticed about him is he's a good accurate passer of the ball.
Yeah, he's
in the role where Tom Huddleston is the other option.
Yeah,
but has Lampard prefers playing it out from the back. I think that's why Evans is getting the nod at the moment. But yeah. I think they're the main threats to you.
I always liked George Evans, actually. I thought he was quite a good option to have. I mean, I think he didn't really suit Paul Clement's system, so that's why he left to join you guys in the summer. But I think, actually, if he'd stayed, and he might have played actually very well under Jose Gomez, because he played a key role under Yapstam in that first season. So I think he would actually fit quite well in this Gomez system. But I'm pleased to see that he's getting his chance at Derby now, after I think he got a bit of an injury earlier in the season. But finally then, Andy, how do you see the game panning out at the weekend? Can I get a score prediction from you?
Well, at Derby and Reading, it's that fixture where we often win at yours and you come up and win over Upper Towers.
Indeed, yeah.
You've had many good victories, even last season when we was in the playoffs.
Yeah.
I think you turned us over 4-2, I think.
It was, yeah.
So, but I do think that Frank, he knows how important it is to get back to winning ways. I know we've only had one win in six, but just a couple of defeats there. But he will want the team to be attacking, to be pressing you hard. And this time around, I'm predicting a 2-1 Derby win.
I was going to mention that game last season. Actually, I think that 4-2 win at Pride Park was probably one of our best performances of last season. One of the few actually good games that we had. But we do seem to do very well at Derby usually. I think we lost there a couple of years ago. But other than that, I mean, obviously there was that game on the final day of the season a couple of years ago as well that obviously knocked you guys out of the playoffs, and Kwesi Appiah scored, I think, probably his only goal for Reading. But based on sort of our good record on at Derby and the sort of optimism that I've had after last weekend's win over Nottingham Forest, I will say a 1-1 draw. I think you guys, you know, there's still some very, very talented players in your squad despite the poor run of form. But I mean, I'd imagine a draw is probably a better result for us than it would be for you guys.
Oh, yeah. Yes, certainly would be. We need to get the monkey off the back of, you know, after Christmas. Collapsing or going on bad runs. The game last season you thoroughly deserved, you know. You outplayed us for the virtue of the whole game. We'll see what Frank's made of this Saturday, if he can turn it around quicker than previous managers.
Indeed. And my thanks then to you, Andy, for joining me on The View from the Town, and once again, and all the best at the weekend and for the rest of the season.
And to yourself.
It's now time then for me and Tom to discuss Reading's team news ahead of the weekend and pick our preferred lineups for the game.
Get social with the boys.
Find them on Twitter
at The Tarlhurst End
and facebook.com/The Tarlhurst End.
Welcome back to the Tarlhurst End weekend preview ahead of Derby versus Reading this Saturday. Team news wise, Tom, a fair few players missed out last week against Forest. Callum Harriott dropped back out of the side, and the likes of Don O'Shea and Yaku Maito also missing as well. After featuring recently, do you think any of those could come back into the side?
No, it doesn't sound like it. I think it's going to be exactly as you were, really. Seven first team players missed out last week, and I don't think there's anything new to add, and it's going to be the same players missing again. So obviously there's a couple of people who just weren't in the squad, they could come back in, but in terms of the injuries, those guys you mentioned and the long-term ones, they're all still out. Harriott and McShane, I think, are sort of training but not fully, so they're not too far away now, which is good. But I think the rest of them are still a little while away. Obviously there's a 10-day gap, isn't there, after this game, so that'll give them a bit of a chance. But for this weekend, all seven are still missing.
I know Harriott sort of tweeted sort of just before kickoff at the weekend that he wasn't unfit, he was just being rested, and then Gomez said that he picked up a niggle. So is it something that was recurring from his, you know, very long one, or was that something new?
I think it's some sort of small muscle thing. Like I say, I think he was rested as a sort of precaution last week. They obviously don't want to take any sort of risk at all with him, especially after the impact they see he can have. So as like I say, he's training, so I don't think it's anything too bad, but he's not going to be in the squad for the weekend, according to Gomez. So I don't think it's anything too bad for him, luckily.
Yeah, I think you have to treat him with caution a little bit. Obviously he only, you know, played for the first time on New Year's Day for the first time in over 2 years, so you've got to take caution a little bit with that one. But taking all of that into account then, Tom, what would your starting 11 be against Derby?
Near enough the same as last week. I think just one change, that'll be at left back. That's still a tight call. I'd bring Black in for Richards, just because I think Derby have got quite a lot going forward. They might just need, maybe, I think Black might be a bit more stable defensively than Richards at the moment. But just go through the team, then Yokola in goal. Back four, Laurie and Moore in the middle, Yadom and Blackett at fullback, and central midfield, Rinomoto and Bakuna played well last week. And then Barrow, Swift, Ajaria came in, looked good, and then Bodvarsson up front is what I'd go with.
I think I would go for a very similar side. I think I would also bring in Tyler Blackett in for Omar Richards. I think, you know, Richards hasn't looked, you know, he hasn't looked bad, but he's not looked, you know, that good in the last couple of weeks. I think obviously it is good to have him as a backup, you know, with that news today that we won't be seeing Jordan Obita any time this season at all, which is quite gutting, to be honest. But I think as a regular starter, I'm not quite convinced of Omar Richards as of yet. I mean, he does seem to have quite a big future. He's only 20 years old or 21 years old, so certainly not one that we can chuck on the scrap heap just yet. But I think, and then the only other change I would make from last week would be to bring in Lewis Baker in for Leandro Bakun. I think Baker, by all accounts, did very well when he came on against Forest last weekend. Probably should have scored, actually, but skied that effort over the top of the bar. But I think, I really do think, you know, if given regular game time, he could do very well, Lewis Baker. But on the topic of the midfield, one player who we didn't mention, actually, that didn't make the matchday squad last week was Liam Kelly. I mean, I know he suffered a bit with illness in December, a little bit. But, I mean, did he have a problem last week, Tom? Or you know, because, you know, with the way Gomez has structured his midfield, and obviously bringing in both Lewis Baker and Ovi Ejaari on loan, moving Sonny Luko inside, and also Andy Rinomoto sort of nailing down that first team spot. Does Liam Kelly sort of have to up his game a little bit, perhaps?
I think last week there was no fitness issue with him. It was just a sort of a tactical decision, which I think caught quite a few people by surprise. I think I put him in my team this time last week. I thought he played well at Old Trafford and helped control the game there. But I think the way Gomez set up, he was just different tactically, really. Bakuna's obviously a completely different player, and he wanted to bring him in alongside Rinomoto and have a sort of a two in midfield. And then Baker came in for Kelly on the bench, basically. So I think we said last week there's basically six central midfielders, and we said they couldn't all fit in the squad, and that someone has to miss out, and it was Kelly on this occasion. I'm sure it might be somebody else at the weekend. I'm sure Kelly will have a role to play. I think he's only played one of the last nine games, though, under sort of three different managers, which is obviously a bit of a worry for him. But his form had been sort of not great in the first half of the season, really. But I think he showed Old Trafford what he's still got to offer. Certainly playing as a... I think he's better playing as that sort of deeper line playmaker, especially if he's got over in a motor or Bakuna next to him. I think he's still got plenty can offer there. But just with the players they've got now, like you say, it wouldn't surprise me if Baker gets a start this weekend, or at least sometime soon. Obviously, he's been brought in to play games. So yeah. It's just it's difficult to see exactly who for, like say, Renamoto's pretty much nailed down the spot, you'd imagine. I thought Bakuna was good last week as well when he came back from suspension. So it's difficult to see how he fits all these players in, but it's a good problem to have, really. We're having discussions now about players who are in decent form and being left out, rather than before it was just whoever basically you could just get in the team would get a game. Yeah. So it feels a lot better now. The squad seems healthier, and if you've got someone like Liam Kelly not even making the bench at the moment, despite playing well last time he played, I think that's only a good thing for the squad, and there's plenty of options for Gomez to look at the moment.
I mentioned Ejaari as well. I mean, even though he did actually play out wide last weekend, do you think is that where we might see him play most regularly, or is it more of a case that he was sort of filling in for Harry, who was out injured? And obviously, as mentioned, Sonny Luko has been sort of used more in the middle now, and Josh Sims has gone back to Southampton, so there's lots of, you know, there aren't as many options out wide as there used to be.
No, it's crazy. It wasn't that long ago. We were talking about having too many wingers. I think when Sims came in, everyone was thinking, where's he going to play? There's too many wingers. But now you look at it, and there's not really too many options. You've obviously got McCleary, who's struggled a bit for form. You've got Barrow, who obviously sat out the goal at the weekend. And apart from that, unless you want to play a Luko out there, you're struggling. I think I can't really think off the top of my head. I'd like to say Harriet, but he's missing. Yeku Mate can play out there, and he's missing as well. So I think Gomez was really happy with how Ejaari played last week, what he was talking about in today. So it sounds like he may well carry on in that position on the left, and he sort of drifts in, which I think can help, which might be helpful for Richards if he is playing still, to get overlap on the left. But I think Ejaari will probably keep his place. Imagine on the left, I think Swift in the middle. Gomez seems pretty keen to have Swift in the team, and that seems like the best place for him. So yeah, I think at the moment Ejaari might prefer playing in the middle. I think Gomez said he can play anywhere in the middle, in midfield three, really. But I think out wide as well, he's shown what he can do, and I think he's something a little bit different from the obviously 70 minutes we saw. He tired in the second half, but the 70 minutes we saw last weekend, he's shown that he's something a bit different. I thought I'd almost expect him to start again on Saturday.
Yeah, I think both debutants in Baker and Ejaari both had good games last weekend, and sort of proved, you know, the why they are being sort of added into this squad to add some quality into that midfield. But the goals finally arrived last week, of course, as Reading netted two, you know, which was as many as in their previous seven games combined, which isn't a great statistic for that. But I mean, even then, one of the goals was an own goal last weekend. But, you know, does the striking situation sort of remain an issue? Obviously, Yaku Mate's out, John Deddy Barvarsson, you know, has only just started to work his way back to full fitness. I mean, Danny Loder's an option out there as well. But I mean, we haven't talked much about the transfer window yet, you know, because it's gone pretty quiet on that front, really. But there are still sort of just under 2 weeks left of the transfer window to go. But I mean, might we bring in a striker before the end of the window?
It wouldn't surprise me. I think they're certainly looking to add something. When you obviously were just going through the team there, you wonder where they might be able to fit somebody in, and it probably is maybe a winger or a striker, really. That's the most obvious. I think some people would like to see it maybe a new goalkeeper, but I think at the moment, I think going forwards is probably where they need something. A striker hasn't scored for, I think it's Rotherham, Bulldogs scored. Rotherham was the last time any striker scored for Reading. I think that's right. So yeah, obviously the options are a bit limited at the moment. Bob Varson, I think, played well at Forest and showed what he can do, leading from the front, pressing from the front, which I'm sure Gomez was happy with. And he scored a few this season, Bob Varson, so I think if he gets a few runs of starts, I'm sure he'll get a few goals as well. So I think that is the that could well be something they're looking at. Transfer wise, I think the before they do that, they've probably got to move a few players on still. They're still, the squad's still a bit too big for what they'd like. Gomez said over the next, I think he said next couple of days, I think it's what he said, that hopefully they'll get some good news on the transfer front from, I think he's talking about financial fair play and that sort of thing. So I think they're talking about moving someone on and then they can get someone in. That sounds like how it's going to work, really. But
it'll be a loan, do you think?
A loan to come in, I'd imagine, yeah. I don't think, obviously, unless if they can, the caveat is if they sell a lorry, for example, then they'll have a bit of money to play with, because there's obviously this interest from Portugal for him. But yeah, I think they're looking at. I think, yeah, I think he said that might have been the weekend, or he has said at some point, I think, that there is sort of interest in him, but he's fully focused on Reading at the moment, which you'd expect him to say. But yeah, I think they're pretty keen to keep hold of him if they can. And if he goes, you'd imagine they'd probably have to get another centre back in, so that might be where the focus goes there. But yeah, he's quite cagey as to say exactly what position they want, but I would imagine it's probably going to be a striker or a winger if they can bring another one in.
Prediction time then. Tom, we both went with draws last week, but I will defend ourselves slightly and say that was before the news about Aitor Karanka had broken. So I think we might have both gone with wins had that news been come out but before then. But what are you going to go for this weekend?
Still to get one right all season, as I'm often reminded, and that stems all the way back to the opening game when I said 1-0 and Derby scored in the last minute to win 2-1. So I'm going to go for a 2-1 Derby win again, just sort of on that basis. But I think Derby are a decent team, and I think even if Reading do lose it, I expect them to play quite well, and I think that will be enough to hopefully carry through a bit of confidence to the more winnable games they've got coming up. Obviously, this Gomez has thrown down a challenge to the players to finally get back-to-back wins for the first time in over a year, so hopefully they can respond. Yeah. But I'm going to go for a 2-1 Derby win.
Well, maybe this Derby game might turn your fortunes around, even though it wouldn't be very good for Reading. Mm. But I mean, despite saying I was feeling positive earlier, I'm not going to go too over-the-top positive and go for a Reading win, but I will plump for a 1-1 draw, which I think certainly wouldn't be a bad result, all things considered, for Reading, really. I mean, it's probably our home games that the wins need to be coming in, I'd say, I think, because, you know, I think if you nailed down that home form, then, you know, then you give yourselves every chance of staying up, I suppose.
Yeah, that's true. Obviously, like you mentioned, the Bolton game, which is going to be massive, I think, away from home. But they have got a lot of big home games coming up as well. And like you say, if they can pick up the wins at home, get some draws away, I think that'll be, even though they want these back-to-back wins, I think they'd be pretty happy with a draw on Saturday at Derby. I think they'd probably take that. So yeah, if they can get a draw, they'd then have a bit of momentum adding on to the back of the win against Nottingham Forest. I think it would all be pushing in the right direction. The gap's 2 points to Rotherham, so it suddenly looks like it is sort of more achievable now than maybe it did a couple of weeks ago. So yeah, I think we're all in more upbeat mode than we were a couple of weeks ago, and hopefully they can go up to Derby and at least pick up a point.
There is potentially light at the end of the tunnel, but I mean, I wouldn't get too ahead of ourselves. Yeah, I mean, we do have to get those two wins in a row nailed down first before we can even think about survival. I mean, there is no game home or away for Reading the weekend after this game. You know, as they were meant to be playing Bolton, as mentioned, but that game's been pushed back to the following Tuesday due to Bolton's involvement in the FA Cup fourth round. It does mean there'll be no weekend preview podcast this time next week, but we will return in a fortnight's time ahead of Reading versus Aston Villa. There will be a main show with Mark Mayo early next week to review the Derby game. Mark was joined by former Tyler editor and podcast host Dan Wimbush on this week's show, looking back at the win over Forest. But you know, so that's well worth a listen. But over on the website, thetylersden.com, and we'll have full coverage of this weekend's game against Derby. And whilst there's also plenty already up there, including a piece on why stats aren't always the best barometer in games from Simeon Pickup. And I also penned a piece this morning on all this positivity going around at Reading Football Club. But on a similar note, Tom, what can we look forward to reading on the Woking paper in the next week or so?
Yeah, we've got a piece from Simeon as well. I think it was on the transfers and the debuts of the guys last week and what more needs to be done. So that'll be going up possibly by the time this goes out. Also, from the press conference today with Gomez, we spoke about Andy Yeardom as well. So we'll stuff up for about that. And then, yeah, the game on Saturday. So that'll be on workingonpaper.com and on my Twitter at Tom J. Crocker.
Fantastic. Make sure you go and check all of that out. All that's left for me to say then, Tom, is thank you very much for joining me on a Tyler Sten Weekend Preview as ever this week.
Pleasure. Thanks, Ollie.
And as always, a big thank you to you at home for listening. Have a safe journey up to Derby. If you are travelling up to Pride Park at the weekend, please bring home the 3 points. Come on, you ours.
The Tylehurst End Podcast.
By Reading fans, for Reading fans.